Hi, welcome back to Roaming with Restless Women. I'm Julie Noonan, your host, and today I have a wealth and financial advisor. I'm so excited because that is not my area of expertise. Today I have Michelle Taylor. Michelle is the founder of the Women in Wealth Initiative, a transformative platform aimed at empowering women to take control of their financial futures. With over a decade of experience in financial services, Michelle's committed to closing that wealth gap by providing financial education and a supportive community for women from all walks of life. From business owners preparing for exit strategies to stay-at-home moms managing household budgets, Michelle's initiative helps women define and achieve their version of financial success with confidence and clarity. And I like that, their version. So we're not all living up to some weird expectation. Having overcome personal adversity, including battling leukemia at 17 and launching a business at 27, Michelle's passion for financial empowerment stems from both professional and personal experience. She's been nationally recognized as a leader in financial planning, especially for female business owners, and she equips women with the tools to overcome limiting money beliefs and create long-term security. Known for her relatable and energetic storytelling, Michelle speaks frequently on topics such as closing the pay gap, financial freedom, and overcoming adversity. Her mission remains clear: break down financial barriers for women and inspire confidence in every aspect of their financial lives. Welcome, Michelle, and thank you very much for agreeing to be with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Julie. I'm so excited for today's conversation.
Going to be great. I can tell already. So let's just jump right on in. Leukemia at 17. Very briefly, if you could just tell that story, because I know a lot, if I mention it, people are going to want to hear about it. So tell me about that, because that had a
It was crazy. So I had never had a cavity. And I was a cheerleader in high school, came home from a cheerleading camp, and my mom, I was just tired. And thankfully, her mother's intuition, she just thought, you know what? She thought maybe I had mono. And so it took 14 bone marrow biopsies and about 2 weeks, 3 weeks for us to figure out what was going on. And then I went right into treatment and thank God I went right into remission. But yeah, that was a hard thing to go through at 17 years old and going into my senior year of high school. And I think that that's kind of where I first learned your mindset is so critical in getting through adversity. And I tell people all the time, I'm so thankful for having gone through that at a young age because it did shape how I've approached everything thus far.
Isn't it amazing how something that tumultuous can lead to greatness when you do to get your mindset change around it, your mindset around it? Absolutely. Adversity breeds beautiful things sometimes. So
It
then what
absolutely
did you
can.
do? Then what did you do? How did you get into finances and wealth? And did you go to school for it? What happened?
I did go to school for business and for marketing. I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur, but I didn't know what that path would look like. So I started off in the fashion industry. I did start a company, brought it all the way to launch, and then had to pivot because of having babies, which I'm sure a lot of people can relate to. And yeah, and realized that I did not want a life where I was traveling a ton and away from my kiddos and not working for myself as an entrepreneur. So I found this career path through my own wealth manager. And he and his wife became two of our best friends. And I jumped in with both feet, petrified, but now it's been over 10 years and I've never looked back.
That's amazing. That's terrific. So tell me a little bit about how you decided to select women's finances specifically as a target, basically.
Yeah, so my best friend, the one that brought me into this career, he specialized in working with business owners. And you know, women, we find each other. So going under his wing, I found myself working with a lot of female founders and entrepreneurs. And I realized that the type of planning that I was doing for business owners in general is more unique and different than what we're doing for executives or just average families. And on top of that, though, the way that women, especially female founders, approach business and approach finances is very different. We're better investors than our male counterparts, but we are far more conservative. So we're missing out on a lot of opportunity and we're not having the same conversations with each other. I say all the time, we need to start having the conversations that the guys are having on the golf course and over drinks and cigars because we're missing the boat.
So, what kinds of conversations are those? Give me some examples.
I find that I don't know where it comes from. Maybe it's just the natural curiosity, but I do feel like with guys, it's a little bit of look what I'm doing and kind of a not a boastful thing, but they're very proud when they talk about money and accomplishments. And we as women sometimes are a little bit more reserved in sharing successes and wins. So I feel like they're talking about just different investment opportunities that are out there, or when they have they get a pay raise or a promotion. I feel like they're talking about those things, and I also feel they're really good at discussing when opportunities are presented to them. They're sharing it with each other, and I don't feel like we're talking about it in the same manner. We're much more reserved about talking about actual dollars and cents, and just the opportunities that are out there. You know, we know the basics. We know about retirement accounts and how to manage money effectively. But it's, you know, those conversations that need to be happening when you're doing all the right things, but then it's the question of what's next. And I think that that's where I'm hoping to make a big difference and encourage women to talk about those things with each other.
Tell me a little bit about some of the, not obviously not their names or anything like that, but some of the women that you've worked with who you feel like have really kind of broken through and had some really big success, at least in their minds.
Oh wow, there's so many, but you know, a lot of times it's just having the conversations that they may not feel confident enough to have in another setting. For example, I have a client that she's done exceptionally well, but when we started talking about education planning, she said, you know, that's just nothing that is on my radar. I want my kids to do it on their own. I'm here to support them. And when I told her, that's fantastic. Let's figure out what that looks like. She said that that's when she. In the past. So I feel like women are more comfortable sharing goals and real preferences on what they want the future to look like. I've had women that, you know, will text me in the middle of the day to say, I just paid off those credit cards that we talked about, and I'm so excited now to redirect that money towards investing. Just those little things that really matter. People that are unsure and say, I want to start getting into other types of investments. I want to get into real estate. What does that look like? Helping them find things like a syndication to consider and seeing the wins. It's honestly the best part of what I do.
What's been the biggest surprise for you in working with these ladies?
I think the biggest surprise is that we are all doing it the same way for the most part. I think that even myself, I find that when I'm in a conversation, I am hesitant to raise my hand and say, okay, wait, what are we talking about? I've not heard of that before. I feel like we all second guess ourselves in financial situations. I think that we are all more conservative than we need to be. And I think that once we make the decision to make a move, we are all very committed to seeing it through. I can't tell you how many times I sit down with business owners or just women that are W-2 employees, and they'll say, I feel like I'm behind, or I feel like I haven't done enough. And I feel like I spend too much on discretionary expenses. And we all say that. So I feel like the biggest surprise is realizing that nobody is doing it much different. It's more of a confidence and commitment to change that is so needed.
Well, and sometimes I think it's the knowledge too. Half of why I struggle myself is because I don't know. I don't know the jargon. I don't know the lingo. I was an English major. Here I am, 5 years running a very successful business, and I still feel like I don't know the basics even of business. Thank goodness I hire people for that stuff. But you know, when it comes to my own financial well-being, I feel like I have to work with a financial advisor, and I know that they're helping. I'm seeing my wealth grow most of the time, but I wouldn't know if I was getting the most out of my money or not, because I just don't have that background, that education, nor do I have necessarily a financial advisor that has the time to truly educate me. Well, how do you respond to something like that?
Well, I think that you just hit the nail on the head as to why I created my community and membership platform. It's womeninwealth.co. And this is this is the reason, is because so many women feel just like you. And I think that having access to educational tools, PDFs, a community where you can ask questions and feel confident in asking questions, have the wherewithal to know who the people are that you need at your table. I call it building your own board of advisors, if you will, or board of directors, where if you don't know that you need a professional, it's just not something that we talk about. So,
Right.
understanding how to build those relationships, what are those questions that you ask when you're interviewing a wealth manager or an estate planning attorney or a bookkeeper to ensure that the relationship goes smoothly. And then ultimately, having women that are peers and also giving the chance to have mentorship or be a mentor to someone is so important. And that's what this community is fostering, is a place for all of us to change the way we think and feel about money together. And I think that in time, learning in this generation is going to shift the generations that are coming behind us. I know having conversations with our daughters, our nieces, our junior relationships in the place of employment, being willing to talk about it once we've been told that it's not something to talk about is going to change this landscape. And that's what is so important.
Yeah, I see you light up when you start talking about that, especially at the generations behind. And I know you have kids, so excuse me, I do too.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where we were not taught. So I came from a family where my mom and dad divorced when I was young. They had a great relationship, were very amicable, but they were both very different in their approach to finances. My mom was in retail as a manager for 35 years and budgeted every penny. And then my dad was an entrepreneur and took some time to see some success, but he also was not teaching me about money. They were teaching me other things that I think were really important lessons to get me where I was today. My mom would always tell me, "Don't go looking for somebody to give you the life that you want. You need to go out and do it for yourself, and you can do anything that you want to do," which I think was such a gift. And then my dad was teaching me about grit and hard work and attention to detail. And he has just an amazing work ethic and could sell ice to an Eskimo. And so combining those two things made me realize, okay, I want to be an entrepreneur. But again, I made terrible money decisions when I went away to college. And I really do want, and I'm so committed to encouraging people to have the conversations, even with what little knowledge someone may feel they have. There is something there to give to the girls in our lives.
Yes, for sure. I just had my first grandchild 2 months ago, and yes, and I have been thinking a lot about the world that he's going to grow up in, and the economy, and not knowing from day to day what the economy is going to do around them. If you don't have that bedrock of here is my plan. Here is how I'm going to live in this thing, and I can adjust as things happen, but I do have a solid foundation. I've been very, very out loud to my daughter and my son-in-law about making sure that he has that. And my daughter's great, so I'm not worried about that.
Well, and I think that that is such an important thing that you actually just touched on that men tend to do really well, and that's taking the emotion out of your money. And I am guilty of it myself. I can tell a client all day long to do something, but it's easy to feel a little bit more timid when you're dealing with your own money. So I think the guys are pretty good at that in riding the waves of the ups and downs of an economy, of a market. But if we can learn to take the emotion out of it and realize that you can win in any economy if you just know what to look for, it makes it feel a lot less intimidating.
Well, and a lot more in control, a lot more in your own
Sure.
control. Yes. So what is your biggest, juiciest tip for a woman who struggles with finances?
So, I would say the biggest thing that I think we can all do better is living in an and universe instead of an or. So, oftentimes, if someone is struggling financially, there's usually some debt. And when debt is working for our benefit, it's, compounding interest is incredible. But on the flip side of that coin, it's also so detrimental when it is not in our benefit. So, I would tell women to live in an and universe where they are saving and investing and paying off any kind of outstanding debt. That's going to be the key to getting to a place where you're more comfortable. And then once you're in a place where you're feeling like you've got some breathing room, I would say that the time in the market is far more important than timing the market. So even if you're starting with $50 a month, or $100 a quarter, whatever it is, do something because compounding interest is going to make you very happy when the time comes where you need that money.
Oh, for sure. What about for women who are getting ready to go into retirement? Do you have any particular tips for them, or is it the same?
Yeah. Well, I would say that usually women that are getting ready for retirement are always nervous about outliving their money. And that is the key. Most of the time, when I'm speaking to my female clients, they will say, I don't care about the rate of return I'm getting. I just want to know that I'm going to live the life that I want to live. I'm going to be able to leave a legacy for the people I care about or a charity I care about. And I don't care if I can get there getting a 5% rate of return or a 25% rate of return. I just want to feel confident in that. So I would say the most important thing there is find someone to talk to. There is an order of operations on how you should access your money, what you should be doing with it. There are ways that you can manipulate how you're taxed on some of your individual or stock accounts, based on the income that you're taking out of your accounts and in what order. So nobody knows that unless they do what I do. And so I would say, don't feel like it's too late. Don't feel like you don't have enough. There are advisors out there for everybody. And I think reaching out just to make sure that you know you're good to go for the rest of your life is the most important validating conversation that you can have so that you can enjoy the fruits of your labor in this exciting chapter of waking up and doing whatever you want.
Yes, we're not. One thing that I always tell my ladies of a certain age is you're not done. We're not done.
No.
When you were done working, that just means we're done working for, a paycheck. We could still be working for whatever we want to work for the rest of our lives. It could be for something that you want the world to change in the world. It could be working to make sure your grandchildren are growing up properly, et cetera, et cetera. So just because you're not getting a paycheck from somewhere, it doesn't mean that you're done creating value in the world. And creating value in the world is such a beautiful purpose of everyone at any age. So I'm glad you said that.
And I love that you say that because I do feel that there is a little bit of a working for a paycheck hangover that happens. And I always think it's such a beautiful next chapter of being able to give of your time truly how you see fit, whatever that looks like, whether it's time with grandkids or I once knew a woman that started working at a children's clothing store just for fun. She wasn't expecting it to be a lucrative paycheck, but she wanted to be able to buy clothes at a discount for her kids and, or I'm sorry, her grandchildren. And that was enough. And going out to dinner or just spending your day with your dog in the park, it's so freeing and should be celebrated. And I think that the one thing that stops women from celebrating is the worry of, have I done enough? And if we can help take that away from them, then I think that truly they can embrace the next chapter with excitement.
Absolutely. Michelle, I end every episode with three questions. The first is if you could close
Okay.
your eyes.
Okay.
And tell me what you see in your mind when I say wise woman. You can open your eyes and say,
Oh, I'm sorry. What was the question?
tell me what you see in your mind when I say wise woman. And you can open your eyes and answer.
Wise woman. When you say that, I picture a group of women in friendship or just good peers. I don't think that it has an age limit, but I think that women do so many things well. I have a group of friends that whenever I need something, I tell them they're like the elders that I go to them. And I feel like that's what I think about. Wise woman is all of us, but in a group together. And I think we can answer any question or solve any problem.
Absolutely. I think we and support each other too. That's the other thing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The next one is, where do you like to roam?
So I love to travel so much. If I had to pick my most favorite place, it has to be Italy. I lived in Florence when I graduated from college with my best friend. I've been back, goodness, 14 or 15 times now. And if I could go anywhere, it'd be Florence for sure.
Wonderful. And what about what makes you restless, but in a good way?
Oh, wow. Creating and being a part of experiences for others. I think that for me is, it makes me so excited and restless to choose the next adventure or the next way that I can do something special for the people that I love that gives me purpose and excitement every day.
Oh, I love that. That's beautiful. Michelle, thank you so much for joining us today. How can people get a hold of you if they want to learn more about your community of women that you talked about or your business?
I have a few spots. Womeninwealth.co is the community and membership platform. I would love to see all women there. I also have an Instagram account where I share a lot of great information, and that is women_in_wealth. And I also have a podcast called Talk Wealthy to Me.
Ooh, that sounds sexy. Okay.
It's fun. Fun.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. All right. I'll make sure that those links get put into the show notes. And again, thank you, Michelle. I really appreciate your coming on board with us.
Thanks so much. It was so nice to chat with you today.